It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. And, you know, try as I may, I tried to have a happy home.
Of course you do. Who doesn't? Everybody does.
I know, but it's not always happy. Not that it's sad, but we just have a really loud house.
Loud how? What do you mean by loud?
Well, I was asking you this off the air. When I was growing up, my mom would say, go tell your brother it's dinner time.
Sure.
And instead of walking upstairs, it'd be like, Chris, dinner's ready.
And then she'd say,
Wendy, stop yelling.
I could have done that.
Right.
That's the usual answer to that.
But we're a loud house. I was brought up that way. My mom was Italian. A lot of yelling. Not like mean yelling, but a lot of yelling.
Sure.
It's never quiet, and I want my house to be a sanctuary.
Oh, good luck with that.
How's your house? Do you guys raise your voices?
We're a little
excitement?
Quieter. Yeah, there is excitement, but it's subdued excitement.
Well, we have an expert on the line with us who hopefully can help me. Obviously, you don't need the help, which is typically your case all the time.
Yeah.
Perfect family, perfect wife, perfect daughters.
I will
daughters.
Be on break during this segment.
Joanne Miller is on the line with us. Joanne, how are you today?
I am great. And it's interesting that you're just talking about how your house has been so loud, because I have just sent off about half of our family group back to Colorado. They have been here to our home. We've had 23 people for the last 5 days, all of my kids, grandkids, and it's been very chaotic. So I know loud.
But loud isn't necessarily bad, is it? You've written this book, Creating a Haven of Peace, and I definitely need your help, and I'm sure some listeners do, so that's why we're talking to you today. So loud isn't necessarily bad.
Loud is not necessarily bad. In fact, it can be really exciting when it's a good, comfortable, secure, loving laughter and interaction. I just got a text just before the kids even pulled out of the driveway from our oldest grandson, who's 21, and Caleb says, Nana, I had such a great time, and it was so fun, much fun playing games. That's fun. A peaceful home doesn't necessarily mean just a quiet home. It means more than anything, a home full of love and unconditional love, no matter what.
But Joanne, or Nana, if you'll allow me, where are you? What state are you in right now?
Mental or
actual? geographical, which state?
geographically, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
You're in Tennessee. There are nights where you can hear Wendy's family there in Nashville,
we
right?
We were just there two weeks ago, so you could have heard us. I'll tell you the truth, and I will say this. I have two teenage boys who couldn't be farther apart in grades. One's going to be entering senior year of high school. One's going to be an eighth grader. They're at very different points in their life right now where they get along for 1 minute, and then they bicker and they bother each other. And when I was walking up into our hallway of our hotel in Nashville, Tennessee, I could hear them by the elevators.
You could.
They weren't really fighting.
Just talking?
But they were getting excited and yelling and talking about, I want to watch this show. No, they weren't really fighting, but that's what I mean. We're surrounded by loud. So it's not always unconditional love, but we definitely like each other.
Certainly. But it doesn't matter how much you love one another, there's still going to be differences and there are still going to be fights, so to speak, although I talk about that in the book, and I think there are ways to learn how to fight. I don't even like that word. To me, that's kind of an ugly word. We can have intense discussions and discussions with a lot of depth and emotion, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a fight, and hopefully shouldn't escalate to that. That's different when you've got kids in the house, though. The kids are learning a lot by what they see the parents do. That's the biggest role models they have in their
lives. We do not fight over television shows, my husband and I. We do not. I don't, like, give him a purple nurple just to get his attention.
No, but
wow.
I have to agree that you are role models for your children in many ways, and that I think that's important to remember. And certainly, if you want a haven of peace, there is some quiet there, and that needs to be respected in the home. With our children growing up, we usually allowed them to scream and yell and carry on all they wanted to outside, but when they came home, they needed to be respectful. But this is a home for everybody to be comfortable in, and if you're comfortable with all the chaos and loudness, that's okay. It's not like there's a right way and a wrong way in that. It has to do with the personality of the family structure.
Joanne, you've been involved in a marriage that's lasted a good long time. Tell everybody how long you've been married for.
Yes, Daniel and I have been married for 48 years.
That's sensational.
That's great.
Now, you just mentioned you don't believe in fights. You don't like the word fights. What for the discussions that you and Daniel have had, what seemed to be the most intense?
Well, I'm not going to say I haven't ever been angry, because that's
impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Right.
And I'm sure that he can say the same thing. One of the things that we've kind of always had as a rule in our home is that we want every situation to be a win-win for both parties or for everybody involved. Sometimes that means compromising. Sometimes that means long discussions, and those long discussions can take several days. But typically, if I get ticked off at Dan for something that that I feel has been unfair, or he's reacted in a way that I don't like or whatever, I usually give myself a little cooling off period to really think and analyze it. I used to stuff a lot. I don't do that so much anymore. I really confront him quickly.
Wait, what does that mean?
You used to what a lot?
Stuff a lot?
Stuff.
What does that mean?
I would just not say anything because, okay, I'm thinking this is just trivial. This is trivial. It's not a big deal. I will just keep it inside me, and I'm not gonna talk about it. So I don't talk about it until I've done that enough times. That one tiny little thing sets me off, and I explode like a volcano.
Oh,
that's
wow.
My husband. He does the same thing. He doesn't want to complain, but then he like keeps it on account.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the explosion happens.
Oh. Yeah, that happens with a lot of people. That's not uncommon. Either that or it's the opposite, where you spout off at everything.
That's me. Hello.
Oh.
We've got, you know, I talk quite a bit in the book about personality styles. I think it's really, really important to understand the personality styles of each member of the family, because it helps you not only to understand that person better, but to also understand how you can respond in a variety of situations with that individual and make it work and make it be a happy thing rather than total chaos or disconnect. And that's something you definitely don't want.
Sure.
And I think the most important word that you bring up in the world, in the book, which, by the way, we have Joanne Miller on the line, and the book is called Creating a Haven of Peace, and is respect. You need to respect one another. You have to respect,
Yes. You
know, that other people have differences. It's bad, though, like, you know, if Bill and I disagree on a guest idea or whatever, I treat Bill with more respect than I do at home, because it's like I'm comfortable with my husband and kids. So you have to sometimes learn to not sugarcoat it, but be respectful about it.
You really do, Wendy, and you bring up a good point. In fact, you bring up a memory that was not all that great for me. Back many years ago, when one of my children was about probably 5-6 years old, he heard me talking to a friend. The phone had rung, and I picked it up, and I was talking to this friend, and then I hung up. And he looked at me and he said, "Mommy, why do you talk nicer to them than you do to us?"
We always called it in our family, the stranger is always right, because you're always willing to back the stranger and defend them or speak with your, "Hello, this is Wendy." But at home, you hear this kind of voice from me.
Yeah. It's important to recognize that you have that tendency. And if so, then to talk about it. Talk about it as a family. One of the things I bring out in the book, and I think is really a helpful tool in the household, is to do a personal mission statement and a family mission statement. What do you want your family to stand for? What values do you want to have in the family? How do you want to work together? What is acceptable? What is not acceptable? It can be a few lines, or it can be paragraphs, but do it together so you all agree on it. Then once everybody has said, yeah, this is what we want our family to be, then when somebody violates that, you can always go back to saying, you know, did this, what do you think about this? How did this jive with the mission statement that we did? And they can decide for themselves if they were right or wrong.
This reminds me of when the Bradys used to have meetings in the den.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that because they were trying to problem solve as a unit.
Right.
And that's what you have to do.
You really do. If you do, you know, so often you find families where the parents keep everything from the children. And they really try to keep everything on an even keel and not really let them know what's going on in the family. And that can be good to a certain extent. But also, I really believe that the success of the family unit, much like in a business, depends a lot on how much you involve everybody else.
And kids are too smart, don't you think?
Yes.
Kids pick up. They're too intuitive, you know?
Like if one parent loses a job, I'm not saying you shouldn't burden your child and say, you know, we're not going to be able to go out to restaurants as often, but you certainly shouldn't not tell them. You got to say, you know, dad lost his job.
And you're going to have to sell your dollies. We have no other alternative.
I think it's more shocking and hurtful if all of a sudden, like maybe you hear it from a neighbor kid, like,
oh, yeah,
my mom told me that your dad lost your job. What?
Right.
I totally agree. I think that we don't give our kids credit enough for being as smart and as intuitive as they really are. From a very young age, they know if mom and dad are having some problems. They know if things are not going smoothly, or even if a career is not going smoothly, they can pick up on those little things, because much as we like to delude ourselves into thinking that we can hide it so well, that usually is not the case. And I don't really think that it's healthy for the family in general.
Joanne Miller on the line with us, and you can pick up her book, Creating a Haven of Peace. I am going to have to read through this very slowly and carefully. We're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. And when we come back, I want to talk about the last section of Joanne's book. And she asked for comments from her three children. I want her to explain that next.
Beautiful. All right, that's coming up. Stick around. If you want to call in, please do. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, the dynamic of a family. What is it? Different personalities living together. I fessed up that our family's a little on the loud side. Joanne Miller on the line with us. Her book is Creating a Haven of Peace. Someone has texted us and said, oh, great, so you're welcome to have all your chaos and loud children in your own home, but whatever happened to raising our children to be peaceful and create that for others in public? My kids are fine in public.
Is that weird, though? Why is that,
but,
do you think?
Joanne, don't you think it's because, you know, one is comfortable in their own home, and then you let your guard down?
I think that's true. I think that, but let me also put a caveat there. Sometimes I think we have a tendency to have that Popeye mentality. Well, I am what I am, and you can accept me like that, or not. And I think that we have to sometimes put on have rules and regulations in our home that also jive with what we do outside the home, because it's a matter of respect. And we get so comfortable sometimes that we think being polite or being respectful isn't necessary in the home. And I think that if we carry that out in the home, throughout the home, if it's taught there and practiced there, then when the children or the family is in public, it tends to be the very, very same, sometimes even better. I know that I wanted my kids to be accepted in other people's homes. I was really adamant about that. I did not want them to see us coming and say, oh, here they are again with the kids. I saw too much of that kind of behavior in my background, and I didn't want to emulate that in my own home.
And speaking of your kids, we haven't received the book yet, so I don't know exactly what it says, but talk about how you asked your kids about comments about their years growing up with you and your husband. Tell us a little about that.
Well, they grew up in an entrepreneurial home. My husband had all kinds of businesses, some very good and some not so good. And so we had a lot of ups and downs, and that is typical in an entrepreneurial home. They've grown up to be entrepreneurs themselves because that's the life that they saw. But one of the things I asked each of the children, they knew what I was writing about. They've lived this. They've heard me speak about it and write about it so many times through the years. And so I asked each one of them to please just write a little bit about what they think about when they think about their growing up years. And I didn't let any of them know what the other wrote. So I wanted it just from them without any bias. And I was just, I was in tears. I was so thrilled with the things that they brought to the forefront, mostly revolving around how we respected them and they learned to respect us in turn. I know Kevin, our oldest, wrote about peace has few rules but definite boundaries. And so we did, because in our home, we usually said yes, unless it was something that was either immoral or harmful in some way. And so there weren't a lot of rules, but we definitely did have some boundaries. And Jared wrote about relationships and how we learn to respect relationships so thoroughly that that trumps everything. And then Ashley talked about how their whole world is the school. We always had everything as a learning experience. I homeschooled the kids, loved doing that. She's doing the same. All of our grandkids, I have 14, well, actually, if you count newly adopted members, I have now 15 grandchildren and even one great-grandchild.
Wow.
And that they're all of them have been homeschooled in some form or fashion, and none of those homes have television. No, they don't have cable.
Right. Hang up, Wendy. Hang up. Hang up on this woman.
Yeah, I don't. That's something that sounds very foreign to us.
You know, it is foreign. And what happens is we sound like Little House on the Prairie, and then we should be wearing long dresses and living on the farm and all of that. That's not true. We have a big business. My husband has been the author of quite a few very successful books, and we are we're really fairly sophisticated out here, but we've chosen to do things as a family that brings adventure and fun to our lives and do things together and communicate together rather than sitting in front of the tube.
Sure.
We have TVs to watch movies, and we have movie nights and that kind of thing, but to just sit down, I can't tell you what's on a regular basis on TV shows.
But it's nobody else's business what goes on in your house. And obviously you have achieved greatness as a parent and a mother, according to what your kids have said in the end of this book. So you've done your job, and everybody's got to stop judging other people. That's all I have to say.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. And I'll tell you what, I was talking to someone just recently. Again, one of the things that made me least judgmental and learn so much about the way that we do get so judgmental is doing prison ministry and hearing some of the stories of the homes that some of the prisoners have come from. And it makes your home look pretty good. So everybody has their own story. There's no doubt about it.
And respect is the operative word, which I'm going to show a little more respect.
Aretha Franklin was right, Wendy.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I'm going to show that
Find
to my
out.
Husband and the new tortoises, the kids,
yeah.
The dog. Not in that order.
In that order, I bet. Joanne, great to talk to you. Congratulations not only on the book, Creating a Haven of Peace, which, by the way, I got the books on tape version. It was so quiet I couldn't hear it. I tried everything. It was impossible to hear. But congrats on the book and on the long marriage and the happy family. That's great news.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Yeah, how do we get your book, Creating a Haven of Peace? You have a website?
Yes, I do. Go to Joanne, Joanneff, as in Fairchild, Miller, joannefmiller.com. And if you go, as soon as you get on that homepage, you can click on a link that will take you to five steps to making your home that haven of peace. And that's free, and I would love to have your listeners go to that.
And me. I'm going to read that a couple times over.
Do that. It's also available on Amazon and in your local bookstores.
Well, thank you so much, and continued success with the family. You've done a great job.
Thank you.
Take care, Joanne. A quick break, and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.